In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, with two of my staff, Roz Walsh and Erin Shores, as we talk about lifestyles that have disqualified us from having the full weight of God operate through us. Join us for What the Prophets Say. Well, hello, loyal listeners, and a very robust, warm-hearted welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. I'm in the studio, and you guys are in for a super special treat today because I am joined by two people that you will know if you track with GPA, but they may not be known to you if you've not done our Raising Prophets program. And they are two of my staff team who are anointed prophets in their own right, called, gifted, outstanding humans who are bringing wisdom into the house today. So I would say if you are near me, please be upstanding and put your hands together, but you can just nod and smile as you listen in your car. To Roz Walsh and Erin Shores. And I'm just going to start with you, Erin. Let them hear your gorgeous accent.
Yes, hello. This is a Canadian accent coming to you.
And you've worked with us for 3 years, the best 3 years of your life.
Absolutely. Best 3 years. Most exciting 3 years.
Well, that's hands down. Yes, let's put it like that. Fastest pace, craziest 3 years, Erin.
Actually, yeah, the quickest 3 years ever.
Bless you. And so, Erin, you grew up in...
So I grew up on a farm. If you are familiar with Southern Ontario at all, I grew up kind of in the Stratford, London, Ontario area. And I lived kind of all over Canada in my early 20s. And then God asked me to make the leap and follow him. And I've ended up in Scotland, of all places.
Wow. Yeah. But you actually have a lot of qualifications. I'm not going to make you blush because Erin is particularly intelligent, and you have a doctorate of history, and you lectured in which university were you in?
Yeah, I trained at a couple different universities, but my PhD was at the University of Guelph. That's outside of Toronto, just a little bit outside of Toronto.
We'll just say Toronto because that sounded like an unpronounceable word that you just said there.
Yeah. I actually can't remember, but apparently it's a Gaelic word. It was a community settled by Scottish immigrants. Yeah.
No, Ross and I are going to have to try it properly. Spell it for us.
So it's G-U-E-L-P-H, Guelph.
It feels like I need to say excuse you when you say
Yeah, I know.
Guelph.
I know.
I was with you till we got to the PH.
I know.
What?
To be fair, as many things happen in North America, people come over from other nations and we adopt those names and we absolutely butcher them. It could very well in Gaelic be, you know, said a completely different way. But as far as I am aware, it's Guelph.
It's Guelph.
Yeah.
Right. That would not be how I would pronounce it if I was reading it. But then I am chronically dyslexic. So anyway, I wouldn't go with my pronunciation of any word. Bless you. So, but those of you who've done Raising Prophets program will have met Erin because she is the stalwart anchor behind all of that and actually spearheads that for us and does an outstanding job. So she knows about taming corralling. I don't know what's the right word to put
Prophet
it.
Prophet Wrangler. I think that should be on a business card. Prophet Wrangler.
I like
Wrangler.
That. Yeah. I sound like a cowboy.
Wrangler. So
yeah, that's true, actually. I have wrangled some animals in my time. So
that's like a pair of jeans to me.
Yeah, that's true.
Wranglers.
Yeah. Get some Wranglers out for my prophet time.
So the other accent you started to hear there is Roz Walsh. And Roz is from Oz. Mm-hmm. So whereabouts?
So I grew up in the outback in a place with Exmouth no one's ever heard of. So it's in Western Australia, halfway up the coast. So the nearest town's about 3 hours drive away and the nearest city 16 hours drive away. So it's pretty remote, but all my family are now down in Perth. They decided they didn't, you know, they wanted some shops, some internet, all that sort of stuff. I'm sure Exmouth is lovely now, I'm not going to lie. But yes, back then it was very, very remote, but beautiful.
So like, this fascinates me. If you wanted to do Like, if you wanted a pint of milk, what did you do?
I mean, there was like, I think there was like one supermarket, there was one Chinese restaurant, there was one pub. So you could go get a milk, but most of our food was in the ocean. So every weekend we'd go, we'd camp on the beach, we'd fish, crab, all that sort of stuff. And then that would be our food for the week. And we used to grow our own vegetables and stuff. Maybe like, was it quite a full farm, mini farm, hobby farm? Yeah. But that was a very normal thing. But we did have like a supermarket. There was milk.
But you still camped on the beach to fish.
Yeah.
And if you didn't fish, if you didn't catch anything, what did you eat?
Veggies? Roadkill? No. I'm joking.
So have you eaten kangaroo?
Yes, of course.
Oh, no, of course. I mean, Erin, yes. Of course.
Of course. Obviously, Emma.
It's delicious. I love it.
Snake?
I have eaten snake.
Oh, my goodness.
It tasted like chicken.
Oh, my
genuinely.
Word.
It was a cobra, I think it was, or something. But that was in Indonesia, to be fair. I think it was a touristy thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Cockroaches?
Oh, no, not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I have eaten grasshoppers.
Gonna say grasshoppers?
Yeah. So we've eaten grasshoppers. That's so I love food trends because I'm a massive foodie. And so in Australia, we are looking at how we can use insects as a source of protein. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I have eaten like crickets and grasshoppers, but yet to make cockroaches.
Yeah, you can buy bags of sanitized grasshoppers and mealworms and stuff.
Apparently it's very high in protein. It's supposed to be really good for you.
I have tried them. It's the texture of them that I can't. Maybe it's the thought as well, but, you know, you're a better woman than I am. But Roz came into the organisation as my assistant, did an outstandingly brilliant job.
Oh, thank you.
And has now become our head of broadcasting and manages all of what you see for What the Prophets Say, War Rooms. Mm-hmm. What else do we do, Roz?
Oh, Power Hour.
Yes.
Power Church. And very, very soon, because this is going out next week, we are debuting the latest series of At the Starks Table. Make sure to watch it, the Marriage Edition. It is for everyone. I'm very excited. There's some great content.
You know, when we're doing those things, you know, when we're talking about, you know, your physical intimacy or your conflict and problem solving or, you know, answering the people's questions on intimacy, and there were some wild questions. I think you'd just let us film for so long till we're really tired and then the wild content comes out, which is really what everybody actually wants to know.
It's almost like the, you know how they have like the after dark content and all that sort of stuff. But what really made me laugh was, you know, it was 6 hours of like really solid, amazing content that was just so rich. And we walk out and Luke, who is our phenomenal videographer and recently married, he's like, I really learned a lot.
I will look who's sitting behind. He's the class behind the glass. Look, I will never ask you which bit you learned a lot from because I would blush.
Best not to know.
Best not to know. Anyway, so you're in for a treat because these ladies are prophets and have real spiritual stamina and have gone the distance with me and long before that. And in things of faith. Roz, you're going to kick us off today. Train us, elevate us, stretch us, my friend. Punch us with wisdom.
I would love to. So the Spirit of the Lord said to me that do not eat the stew of Esau, because the distraction culture is really just chaos disguised. And I was sitting with a thought and I was like, why is this so important now? Why now of all this time? And God really was leading me to Proverbs. And I was saying earlier, I sometimes think we look at Proverbs as like, oh, a proverb a day keeps Satan away. And actually the point of Proverbs, if you look at Proverbs 1:3, is that it's a guide so that we live disciplined and successful lives. Mm-hmm. And to me personally, Esau is the personification of undisciplined foolishness. This is a guy who gave up his birthright for a bowl of stew.
Let's go back, because you've already said some quite rich things here, and we'll rehash the story. So we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. And Isaac gives birth to twins, Esau and Jacob. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about the twins here, Esau and Jacob, the sons of Isaac, the third generation in that patriarchy. Mm. And we know that Romans, the book of Romans, talks about God loving Jacob and hating Esau. Mm. And that's really important that we understand God loves one of the twins. Mm. And I think it's the only time in scripture you see somebody spoken of being hated. Mm. So what is it that Esau does that gets God so riled?
Mm. Well, if we look at Genesis 25, scriptures 29 to 34, this is really where we see Esau despise his birthright.
Because he was actually the eldest.
He was the eldest. He was in line to inherit the blessings and you know, the everything that Isaac had. And he came in and he was in physical pain, and he allowed his physical pain to guide him and give his birthright for essentially the ceasing of his physical pain. And he didn't understand the eternal weight that he was giving up for a momentary pleasure. And I think that the reason why God was bringing me to this is that we often don't value the things of eternity, because we have what's in front of us. You know, maybe we're in pain. Maybe we've got something that we just want consolation over.
Yes.
And so instead of going, okay, what is my eternal perspective today? We limit ourselves to our pain today, and we allow our pain to motivate our decisions that lack wisdom.
And you said a fascinating phrase there, that he sells his birthright for a bowl of soup his brother has made soup. But you talked about it being distraction. He gets distracted by something that's temporary.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know about you, but I regularly judge Esau. I'm just like, oh, how stupid. How could he give up a birthright for stew? But God's like, well, what's your modern day stew? What are you giving up whenever you watch Netflix or you go shopping and you spend money on that instead of, you know, spending on someone else, or you know, whatever it is, your video games, whatever it is, your modern day stew, what are the things that you're giving up of eternity? And the Spirit of the Lord said to me that this year is a window year. This year is the year to build. It's to build communities. It's to build friendships. It's to build the work of the Lord. But we are allowing ourselves to be distracted by modern day culture. And in doing so, we are losing the eternal.
Losing spiritual weight.
Yes.
Losing spiritual fullness.
Yes.
Losing spiritual abundance. Mm-mm. Losing the ability to hold the anointing that breaks the yoke of oppression against us. Not breaking through, because breakthrough requires spiritual weight by our chaos distraction. Mm-mm. It's really what you're pushing. And you're likening that to Esau's bowl of stew.
Mm-mm. Because I think, you know, chaos, we know that there's chaos in the earth. We know that lawlessness is on the increase. We know that, you know, there's so much competing for our attention. And I believe chaos is disguising itself as distractions, so that chaos enters your life when you don't make wise decisions. Chaos enters your birthright when you allow yourself to be distracted from the things of God with the things of this world. And you're just like, I'm tired, I'm in pain. I don't want to do, you know, I don't want to spend time with God today. I don't want to listen to God today. I don't want to read his word today. I'm bored, I'm weary. And that actually is the distraction of chaos, which then steals your eternal birthright. And so this is a warning from God to go, you need to be looking at the eternal beyond your pain and using wisdom to go, okay, what is the wise decision today to grab hold of the eternal things of God rather than the temporary pleasures of this world?
Let's sit on what spiritual birthright means, because you're not talking about I lose my place in eternity.
Oh, no.
You're not talking about I lose my salvation. It's really important here because spiritual birthright in this scripture represents spiritual authority. It's a spiritual positioning. It's a weight of a position. In other words, what Esau surrenders for temporary comfort is spiritual authority and spiritual weight, which we all actually want. We want to be weighty. I mean, listeners, you will want to be spiritually weighty. You can just say, yes, I do right now as you're listening to this. You will want to have spiritual authority. And you can say, like, yes, Lord, I want spiritual authority. Yes, Lord, I want spiritual weight. I want that capacity where you sit on me with your kabod, your heaviness. And I want to be able to be one who shatters the works of the enemy. Mm-hmm. But really, I can only hold that if I have not let distraction and chaos come into my life. Erin, mm-hmm. do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so fascinating because Jacob, if you look at Jacob's part, Esau is coming and he is very flippant, like, I'm starving. What good is my birthright right now? But Jacob has this plan because he has lived in comparison without the birthright. And he, I think, is mm-hmm. that reflection of actually, what does it look like to not have the authority? What does it look like to function in that? And mm-hmm. in that lack, he knows that he needs it. And so mm-hmm. you can obviously get into the whole issues yes. around deception and all that kind of thing. But in Esau's sort of one moment of flippantly letting go of his birthright, he's become distracted and he's allowed sort of his circumstances before him to steal the things that he needs to be pushing into and the anointing. And how much do we get really captivated by our day-to-day circumstances yes. at the expense of surrendering to God and wanting and hungering and thirsting actually for the Lord and the things of the Lord and wanting to grow in Him and wanting to grow in that spiritual weight and creating that space that even if it is uncomfortable, mm-hmm. God, you are worth it. And it's that expansion of our perspective, I think, of mm-hmm. when I get up in the morning, how do I view my day? Do I view my day in the lens of these are the circumstances that I'm caught up in or that I'm navigating? Or am I looking ahead of this is the reality, but this is God's reality. And this is what I need to be partnering with and pushing into and basically partnering with His perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's that mindset shift of instead of seeing sort of the day to day, of the pushing forward to see the eternal and partnering with God's wider perspective, the limitlessness of the kingdom, mm-hmm. to push into that place of greater stature in the spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's, well, I would have thought that most of our listeners, and thank you if you've been tracking with us for many years, some of you I know are very faithful and you are loyal listeners and watchers. Most guys here want godly stuff. Mm-hmm. They want godly character. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most of you listening are not living chaotic, distracted lives on the whole. However, I want to challenge you right now because the expectation I have, I think that we all have, is that most of our lives are lived in honor of God. You're probably doing a fairly good job. Let me then say, what percentage of your life is lived in distraction and is frittered away that therefore there is a portion that is chaotic? You see, I would say that we probably need to be honest for a moment to say, well, God, I'm devoted here and I'm running here and I've got my face set like flint and I am walking out my salvation with fear and trembling here, 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 here and here. But oh my days, there is this portion over here that is absolutely not yet nailed down. Now, whether it's a financial thing and suddenly I've got a chaos or that I'm just not honouring in that. Very often it's financial and there's a chaotic open door that is actually robbing me of spiritual authority, spiritual heft, mm-hmm. spiritual stability that should be my full portion. Maybe it's a lust issue or a relational dynamic that is so chaotically spiraling and I'm so distracted by it and I'm not handling that in a mature godly way that I'm actually giving away who I fully should be by how I'm navigating that money, how I'm navigating that relationship. Mm. Pick your distraction chaos. Mm. Do you have other examples to help people go, oh, actually that could be the bit that's letting me down?
Yeah, I really think it's leaning into that pain element. It's like,
so you would go for pain.
Yeah, I do think that people dull pain. And I think that's one of the main uses of smartphones these days.
To dull pain.
Yeah. Like, I'm in pain, therefore I'm going to pull out my smartphone. Maybe I'm lonely, so I'm going to distract myself from my loneliness. Or maybe I'm just like physically tired, so I'm going to distract myself.
Mm-hmm. And very good.
Rather than going, look, yes, we are in pain, and being able to sit in pain, I think mm-hmm. in a Western society, certainly, we are pain avoidant.
Very good.
And so we do everything we can to avoid pain mm-hmm. rather than being like, I'm going to sit in this pain for now because I want the eternal thing that God has for me.
I want the spiritual blessing and the spiritual weight.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm.
And give us some top tips, ladies, for sitting in that, because obviously Esau doesn't sit and say, this is only physical pain. This is temporary.
Temporary.
If I rest, if I heal, I will not squander my future. Mm-hmm. Give us some top tips in that. Because Esau gets it totally wrong mm-hmm. and grabs distraction
yes.
yeah. as medication, yeah. grabs a bowl of stew mm-hmm. and then loses his future. How easily done? Mm-hmm. How easily can you actually hit disqualification?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a conversation around time actually in this. I think mm. that we allow time and our concept of time to really put us into a bit of a flurry. So it's like, oh, I've wasted time. I don't think I'm where I'm meant to be at this stage. I should be yeah. further along. Or, you know, how is the day already gone? Mm-hmm. Or I've spent 2 hours on this and not really gotten anywhere. So I think actually even there's a challenge there in your conversation around mm-hmm. time and time spent. And if you look at Esau, if he had just sat there for a few minutes,
regrouped,
yeah. calmed down, maybe drank some water, you know, yes. made some good choices and was like, this isn't the end of the world. I just need 5 minutes to regroup, let my heart rate go down, you know, get out of mm-hmm. the heat. He could have had a very different response. And so, yeah, there's that issue of like, how do we actually allow time to control us instead of us using time for the benefit of the kingdom, the time that we're given?
Okay.
But then there's also this question of reaction versus response. Mm-hmm. Are we reactionary? And does that actually steal from us? And that kind of probably gets into a conversation of self-control. But
so really what we're pushing our listeners today into is if you have a pain in your mm. life that you are medicating in the wrong way, mm. or if you have some bad choices with your finances, or if you have some bad choices in your relationships, mm-hmm. or if you pick where you know you've got chaos, where you know you've got distraction, mm. where you know you're not medicating something, we now have to be brave enough today to say, hang on a minute, am I losing spiritual breakthrough? Mm. Am I losing spiritual weight? Am I actually in disqualification here? Am I giving away what I should be owning? Mm. Because I am not sitting to take good decisions and saying, God, excuse me, you want me well, God, mm. you want me honoring you in this aspect of my life. God, you want me whole here. Mm. And I'm not doing this the right way. And because I am not doing this the right way, it's not like, oh my goodness, I'm not doing this the right way, but hey, everything's okay. I am not doing this the right way. And the cost is loss yeah. of spiritual weight. And the cost is loss of spiritual authority. And the price is disqualification somewhere in my future mm-hmm. because I'm not doing this right today. Mm-hmm. And the wisdom portion is get myself healed.
Yeah.
Get myself financially where I need to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get myself relationally back on track.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get myself whatever your thing is, but most will fit into probably those three things.
Yeah.
I would have thought.
Yeah. I'd say I have two top tips. So the first one is I just want to pray over everyone listening that you have the mind of Christ. And it's something I regularly do. I regularly put my hands on my head and I'm yeah. like, Jesus, please give me the mind of Christ. And I always remember Karis, our social media manager, she was kind
who
of-
might be in the room right
who
now.
Who might be in the room, might be class behind the glass. She was like, look at me one day and she's like, you regularly pray for the Mind of Christ. And I'm like, how do you know? And she's like, I can see it as almost like an ornament on your head. And I'm like, well, this is fascinating. So like there is a tangible spiritual element when you do that. Mm-hmm. But what that does, it gives you the eternal perspective.
Yes.
Because I do think time, you know, we actually almost think we have all the time in the world. And we don't realize our days are numbered. And more importantly, prophetic words have windows of time. And that's why I think this is a window year. This is a window year where we will see prophetic words come to pass. And we can choose to partner with that, or we can choose to allow ourselves to be distracted and not follow through with our spiritual birthright that God is calling us into. Which leads me to the second point of write your vision and make it plain. Like everyone knows, I'm a geek. I have on my wall all my New Year's plans, and they're written down.
You really yeah. do. I mean, if anybody has embraced Habakkuk, where it says, take the vision, make it plain, write it down, mm-hmm. so that somebody can run with it.
Yeah.
Those Habakkuk scriptures of the ability for movement yep. because of vision
yes.
and knowing what your call is, it's absolutely you, Ros Walsh.
Thank you. But genuinely, take the thing God has told you to do. You know, maybe you're going to build a school of prophets. Maybe you're going to take a theology class. Maybe you're going to just start hosting people once a month. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever God has told you to do, write it down, put it up on your wall, make a plan next to it, and then start to tick it off by follow through. Because when something is in your face every single day, suddenly the urgency comes in a way that just cannot be when it just exists in your mind alone.
So your planning processes actually aid the lack of distraction and yeah. therefore the lack of chaos. And therefore, if we keep down that line, the lack of robbery of authority.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't know if anyone's read the book Atomic Habits. I believe that's Habakkuk in worldly form. Mm-hmm. I really do. But that's all about just writing down your habits and then just ticking it off as you go along. And to get to the spiritual birthright, don't miss it. Write it down. Make a plan. Make a habit. And get to where God is calling you, because you're going to need it in the years to come.
Very good. Erin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think mine would be quite along that same line of I diary with Holy Spirit. So, you know, I do my weekly schedule mm-hmm. with Holy Spirit. And so there is an act of Holy Spirit, this, like, I give you my agenda and I will allow myself to be interruptible mm-hmm. by you. But I carve out, these are actually my best hours. These are my most functional hours of the day.
Your green hours where you
yes,
can.
Yeah.
I think there's a great traffic light system for knowing that in these hours of the day, the green is I have great output. Mm-hmm. I have great energy. Mm-hmm. I can really hit some things. Here are my amber times where I'm less productive. Mm-hmm. And here's red times. Don't ask me yeah. to do anything sensible in these
exactly.
hours. You know, yes.
Yeah. So there's an act of actually there's self-awareness in that.
Yes.
You need to start having an understanding of what are my green, what are my amber, what are my
yes.
red hours. And saying, okay, the green hours are for the priorities mm-hmm. and actually inviting Holy Spirit into that conversation
yep.
of what are the priorities. So obviously you have things like work, family, church life, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. But if you're trying to then push into something new, build something new this year, you know, partner with a prophetic word, there is a cost in it. And you get to decide, mm-hmm. is the cost going to bring you something negative or positive? Is the cost that I'm going to pay, actually, I'm going to watch Netflix instead and not really grow or advance? Or am I going to pay the cost of, I'm going to not hang out for 2 hours on, you know, a Friday because I'm actually going to spend time building what the Lord has asked me to build. So I think there's a wisdom in all of this in weighing how best to do that. And I think you bring Holy Spirit into that.
You ladies are very practical. And the reason you're employed by David and I is because you actually put legs on vision and you are structured and organized. And both of you, I have to say, I'm not wired like you two are. And for everybody who is, you probably make David and I look better than on occasions we deserve. So I'm very happy to say that. I don't think in quite that minutiae that you ladies perhaps would. I will go around this a slightly different way just because of personality style. Mm. But I want to address those who are in a different place because they realize there's failure. Mm-hmm. Where you know something is out of kilter with the spirit because years have been lived, or maybe children have been raised, marriages are years down the line, and you realize that something turned and something wasn't well managed, and you're aware that you're doing a great job with maybe 70, 80% of your life, but there is this other portion that is just in a bit of chaos. It's not a God-honoring, and you suddenly are having right now an oh no moment or an aha moment that actually some part of me has lost spiritual authority, has lost birthright, has lost the weight that I think God has asked me to carry. And yes, you can diary plan like these girls do. Yes, you can write a vision, yet take their top tips because they're very useful. Start to invite Holy Spirit, as Erin says, into your week by week. But I want to say to you guys, I think there is a brave course correction that God is inviting you into, a brave course correction. And in those brave course corrections, it is okay to make some quite significant life changes to get back on track. It is okay to go into some months of some deeper healing and counseling to deal with the pain that got you out of kilter. It is okay to go back in and take the humble place of repentance to restore a relationship. It is okay to get some relational guidance. It is okay to sell what needs sold, to give away what needs given away, to streamline, to simplify. And I would want to bless some of you into some house moves. I would want to bless some of you into some major gear changes in life to deal with the chaos that is now over your threshold, to turn and to fix. And the Lord says there is grace for some major course corrections to reacquire the weight and the fullness of the birthright that God has for you. And for those where it's a little bit, do the little bit practical. Mm-hmm. For those of you that's more major, do the more major. For me, I love vision. I am a visionary. Mm-hmm, my job within the organization is strategic vision.
Yep.
My job is not putting wheels on it these days. My job is more chief exec to hold a vision. Mm-hmm. And I would say to you, get the vision in one sentence for your life. For me and my organization, it is revealing the voice of God to the nations. And that one vision is so pervasive. If you know what your one vision is, it will dictate everything. I so want to reveal the voice of God to the nations. I promise you, having watched David in my life, you will know this to be true. We will do whatever it takes for that vision to be made full, to be made known. Yeah. I will not squander the ability to reveal the voice of God to the nations. So if you don't have the one tagline or strap line, get one that everything else then filters into place.
Amen.
When you've got it. So Ross, thank you for taking us in that direction.
It's a pleasure. I thoroughly enjoy it. Thanks for having me.
And you'll be delighted to know that the brilliance that is Ross Walsh and Erin Shores are back also for our next episode, because why would you squander such greatness? So thank you. You've got homework, guys, for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. We will see you very soon for another rip-roaring conversation. Take care, my friends. Bye.
Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.